Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go.
God bless you tonight. I want to say to you that what's going on is what's going on. I want to say tonight the chicken dollar flow night. It's a Friday night. People getting ready for Thanksgiving. People getting ready to fly. It's the question as a Christian. It's the question as Muslim, question as rabbi, what's happening to our system of justice? No justice, no peace. The reason I ask, my book, The Miracles of Jesus, and then we talk about for God so loved the world that he gave is only for God's Son that whoever believes in him does not perish but have everlasting life. When a bunch of people get together and they see two men shot down and killed, and they say it's self-defense. They didn't have no guns, no nothing. The problem we got is justice. The problem we got is people are wicked and turn away from God. There's no way I can sit in a jury pool and see that and say he's innocent. No justice, no peace, no lawyer, no judge can tell me that's self-defense. But because we, and the president said it, President Biden said it, go with what they said, whoever we can say he was innocent. Those 12 people are going to lift their eyes up in hell for that lie. When God's money was given, it was a lie. The truth always come out. Tonight, I want to talk about what happened last night. Some of you didn't know what was happening. And I talked to several people about the eclipse, and you won't see it no more. You won't see that no more. But the significance of that, Jerry, was it was cleaning up your aura. It was helping your mental. You know, we and Dick Gregory talked about it. Dr. Fikes talked about it. Chemtrails that have messed people's minds up. Made them in suicide. There's a lot of chemtrails going on. But this eclipse, I'm going to tell Katrina, this eclipse was cleaning up our minds, moving cancer, moving tumors, and all kinds of evil they had on us. They were cleaning it up. So this is kind of stuff that was going on. So as you begin to look, you see that what happened. We're talking about $1.2 trillion. $1.2 trillion is given out. That money is to build bridges. That money is to the internet all over. And that money is to start a business. Now, you that black constructed something, you that clean this family, you to write your proposal to get ready to give up this money. And let's go to $1 trillion float. From LA to Miami, Minnesota to Detroit, Chicago, Alabama, Texas, $1 trillion float. Houston, $1 trillion. New Orleans, Bill. People of Maryland, look. Atlanta, Georgia, look. $1 billion, look. Over enough. Enough for everybody. It was made for us to be rich. Made for us to be brilliant. People of color. People of Maryland. You ask not, you have not. We ask it for what's ours. We are calling for you, you and you, to come into the $1 billion float. New car, new home. New land, new expression. A new philosophy. A new love. $1 billion float. $1 trillion float. We are able to have more money than the government, because we are the government. $1 trillion float coming from Egypt. Coming from the mother country, Africa, to New York and Chicago, the birthplace of Malcolm X, the birthplace of Martin Luther King, DuSable. I'm talking about $1 trillion float, the slave train. I'm talking about car launch done by Roberson, the slave train, the $1 billion flow. You and me, me and you, poor and rich. We are rich because we're in the $1 billion flow. Yeah, you can have that new Benz. Yeah, you can have that Beamer. Yes, you can have that Rose. Yes, you can have that Cadillac. Yes, you can have that up on the hill up in New York, up in California, out in Oakland, Compton, L.A. You can have the $1 billion. Your health is 100%. You 100% deal. You 100% woman. You 100% man. You 100% up with your education. I'm talking about the $1 billion flow. We are ripe for getting what belongs to us. Give me what you owe me, and you owe me a $1 billion flow. I want what's mine. I want to have the best of life. I want the sun to shine on me. I want my melody to wake up. People of color all over the world is in the $1 billion flow. Maybe you in Atlanta, Georgia. Maybe you in down in California. Maybe you in Texas. Maybe you in New York. Florida, maybe you're in Canada, but you're in the $1 billion. Maybe you're in St. Paul, Minnesota, Indianapolis, Indiana, which is about the $1 billion flow. It's going on up in New York, in Chicago, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, New Orleans. It's going on, the $1 billion flow. Down in Texas, Arkansas, North Carolina, South Carolina, Phoenix, Las Vegas, New York. We're calling for the $1 billion flow. I see you rise up and be brilliant. I'm rich because I'm in this $1 billion flow. I am the original man. I am the original woman. I must have my respect. I must have my education. I must have $1 billion. I must be rich. I must lift my brothers and sisters out of the ghetto and out of poverty. I'm in the $1 billion flow. Get what I want. Have what I want. I can get it now. I'm in the $1 billion flow. Look at somebody. So I'm in the $1 billion flow on my job. I'm in the $1 billion flow in my business. I'm...
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, 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 wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. They don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no
with you. Let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
Thank you. And I want to get that still continue you very often. But you got to call the bishop should be seated. And I will send it to you. Hold the palm of an angel. I want you to get ready for it. I'm merely grateful to you. This is my angel of prayer.
Of November, which is ruling over
The planets and also they rule the angels, the order of angels. So he's quite busy. And one of the seven archangels, and the dominate angels in the second and third heaven. And Abaddon, the hand of God. This angel is the angel of light. Brings back things that you know. So the great report I'm saying is that people work and deal with the angels tonight. And I think that the angels you can call Christ by his 715-629-5101. And she's in the
victory today.
Victory today is mine.
yes, it is. Give the man a high five and tell him, yes, it is.
You have to be able now to understand what's going on. We talked about the eclipse. A lot of people didn't understand what was happening. God was rebooting your melon, and black folks got melon that had been tainted. But God had brought it and cleaned it up, and that's what that was all about. Some of you didn't even know what happened. Maybe you get your coconut, Mary. Get your coconut in. And I want to say to you tonight, get ready for a miracle break. We've been going through something a long time, but it seems like it's time for us again to understand. I've seen where the kids broke in the store, stealing pocketbooks and all that. And all over the country, it seems like that we're taking a step back. And you look at your church and look at what's going on. People come in from other countries, get home. Husband and wife get together. The street look like here. I've seen what happened up in Wisconsin. That was a shame. 12 people got together. You said 12 people couldn't see. Self-defense. That let you know something is sick with this law. No justice, no peace. So there got to be some serious changes. And they got to start at the top to the bottom. It's a long time coming. It's a long time coming. And I say, Sam Cooke, our ancestors, I say, but there will be a change from on the inside to the outside. And I think we need that change around about now.
Come, oh yes it will. information. They have us standing around sometimes and pointing at the brothers and saying, yeah, that's them over there. They ain't no good. They doing this and that and the other, and it's all negative. And they have us thinking that the black man is going to die and we going to live on. But that's not how it's going to go. There is still one monolith in the black community, and that's that it still takes a man and a woman to make a baby. So if the black man dies, we all die. And I don't want to die. I want to live. I want my children and my grandchildren and whatever else is coming after Sharazad, I want that to live. But we are not on the path of life. We're on the path of destruction. You know, learning how to get along has to be taught by force. Slavery was taught by force. We didn't volunteer for that. They made us do that. They forced us to do that. And that's how we're going to have to learn how to reunify. It's going to have to be done by force. We're going to have to make ourselves try to deal with each other. Yeah, and that's very difficult, and it certainly takes a great deal of self-control and love for your nation at large. It's the greatest form of unselfishness. Now, I don't go around advocating that people that hate each other stay together. That's not what I'm saying. That's different. We can't solve a problem or get to a solution about a problem that we refuse to acknowledge that we have. We don't have to be ashamed that we have a problem. We don't have to be ashamed to know that it is related to slavery, because all of our problems are related to slavery. And I know that that seems to be some old hat issue, and everybody want me to stop talking about that. Nobody would tell the Japanese woman to forget about the fact that during World War II, the white man interned her family, took all of their personal possessions. Nobody would tell us to forget about that. Nobody would tell the Indian woman, forget about the fact that the white man came over here and took your country and put you and your babies out on the reservation. And nobody would dare to tell the Jewish woman to forget about the Holocaust, so why I gotta forget about slavery? See, the Japanese and the Indian and the Jewish woman got behind their men, and they had some very terrible histories also. But because they got behind their men and supported them and worked with them, those people are successful today. They own property. They have businesses. They got great land here and abroad. You know, they have stocks, bonds, whatever America has to offer. They own part of that. They are in a position to make decisions because they have some ownership. It's only been the black man and the black woman who didn't reunite after a terrible time. And so today we are splintered. We don't have very much. We practice envy and jealousy. You know, they taught us a lot of bad habits that we practice against each other. If we practice everything we practice against each other, against the white man, they'd have been killed out of America. Most of that stuff we reserve for our own kind. And that's wrong. We have had that rumor that we are the backbone of the black nation because it has served to make us think we were better than the black man. We have walked around and wore that as some kind of a sacred garment. And our men have had to struggle up under the already preconceived notion that they wasn't no good. We have always heard that the black man leaves us. He walks out on us. He don't love his children. He won't take care of his family. He beat his women. He do a lot of horrible things. This book goes back to try to examine what are some of the possible contributing causes. What happened before he left? What happened? Something happened. The black man is just not bad by nature. The brothers love their children as much as any other man. Every man loves his baby. They keep wanting to tell us that our man don't even love his children. He's not a mother, though. He's a father. He's not going to have the same kind of connection to the cubs that we have. We can't expect that. We keep wanting the man to act like a woman. He can't act like no woman. Praise be to Allah. I wrote the book so that the brothers would understand what's going on, because most of what we charge them with is that he can't, quote, handle us. He can't handle me. They haven't known what they were handling. They didn't have that affirmation. The book is really a book that puts the black man on point, because it tells him what he is allowed to happen to his woman and his children. And he can never again say he didn't know what was going on, because I have told him. See, it's never been an issue about whether or not the book is true or not, brother. The issue has been that I was not supposed to tell. But that's the missing information. And I was willing to come out here and go through whatever was going to be required if it was going to reunite some of our people. If we can get one or two black families in every town to start functioning differently, to make a better man and a better woman, then this campaign is worth it. It's worth it for our entire nation. I didn't just donate money to Marva Collins School because this is my hometown, or because I wanted to put it in my mother's name. But we must have our own black students to educate our own children. We have to educate our own children. If it's in a closet, I would rather support them to have my own kind, trying to teach my own kind, than sending them out there into the white people's school and let them tell them all kind of nonsense that they want to. It's a very serious situation. Let us take a look at what we as black women have produced while we were allegedly backboning the black nation. One in every four black males between the age of 20 and 29 is in prison, on parole, been arrested, or had some bump with the law. Over 50% of our prison population is black, male, growing, and female. We have more black men in prison than in college. 6 out of every 10 black men between the ages of 15 and 44 are unemployed, in jail, got some disease, homosexual, on drugs. 73% of all the black men in prison were raised by a single black woman in a home with no man. 80% of that 73% suffer child abuse in the home, victimized by the mother. 1/3 of our children drop out of school before they graduate. Over 60% of our households are headed by black women who are single, divorced, separated, or widowed. Yeah, we got a serious problem. And only God knows how many of our black babies we have killed through abortion. I don't think that's something the black, I think that's something the black man will never understand, that we kill that life in our womb because we decide we don't feel like taking care of it. It's too much of a hassle. Or we change our mind about how we feel about the man. So we have been in a very, very powerful position. We can make heaven or hell for the man, and we can decide who's going to live and die. That is a great woman, I agree. But we are in a very prestigious position. We are the wives of man who was the first man that God chose to be on the earth. That's a very great position. The most valued and the strongest man on the earth that everybody's trying to use for something. He's the most durable. He's the most persistent. He's the most determined. The black man is not wrong because he does not do what white America wants him to do. And he's not wrong because he don't do what we want him to do. We don't know everything to do ourselves. We're learning a lot of what we think that we're supposed to do through recommendation and chance. Passing information among each other. Sharing secrets that'll help us to trick him, to keep him confused. We do things in front of his face, and we have learned how to convince him that he didn't even see that happen. Just serious situation. This is the first platform black man has ever had to air his grievances about the black woman because nobody would ever listen to him. They listen to us. And we have had many complaints. Many of them may be true, but they have complaints against us too. They've just been too cool to deal with it like that. And then God sent Sister Sharazar. I said, we're going to deal with it now. History can't be complete without dealing with it. We cannot let the history live and die and record that we were all right and they were all wrong, because that's just not the way it is. We are good people, but we are both going to be a good people. And I hear, you know, women around the country tell me, say, well, you have insulted black womanhood, and now anybody from any foreign country or anybody who picks your book up is going to think that all black women are like that. That's impossible. Everything I list in the book is visual and audible. You can see it or you can hear it. So if you don't see it or hear it, it ain't there. But if you see it and hear it, which you will, it's present. So there's no danger that somebody's going to look at one of us and think we are doing the things that I describe in the book. Because you can see if somebody's doing that or not. That's not difficult to be able to read a person on that. book certainly does not give the black man any rights over us in a certain kind of a way, because no man can begin to try to get us together until he look at himself in the book. See, we represent problem number two. They already know who problem number one is. Now, I know that many of us have heard a lot about, allegedly, as I said, about how much money I'm supposed to be making. I have to mention that because that's what they mention in all of the newspapers around the country. It's the weirdest thing I ever heard of. One article in Emerge magazine, before I left, day before yesterday, I come out of Boston, I went back to Philadelphia, and somebody faxed me a copy of an article out of Emerge magazine, and the magazine said that they were still getting letters about my book, but that they had decided.
Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No,
the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Well, yes.
The 23rd Psalm.
Amen.
I believe this passage to be one of the most well-known passages in all of the Bible.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I believe that this passage is not only possibly better known than the average passage of Scripture, but that it has been whispered by more people in trouble.
Yeah, I know.
It has been quoted by more people on sick beds. It has been uttered by more dying lips.
Well,
possibly than any other passage in all of the Bible.
Yeah.
It is said that once in London, England, there were a group of artists.
Yeah.
And entertainers in the city, and by some scheme, some enterprising person was able to get most of them together in one place.
Well,
so as to demonstrate their gifts.
Yeah.
And when all of them had gone through their routines, they came down to an orator and a minister.
Yeah. Wow.
And both of them were requested to recite the 23rd Psalm. The orator employed all of his innate gifts to speak, called upon all of his skill and gift of oratory. And when he had finished his recitation of this psalm, the house went up in thunderous applause. And then the minister arose rather solemnly and proceeded to recite the same passage. When he had finished, it is said that nobody applauded, but there was hardly a dry eye left in the house. The MC, upon commenting on the two who had recited this passage, said the orator recited this passage like a man who knew it and was gifted to recite it. But the minister recited it like a man who knew the shepherd of which it speaks. You will notice, my brethren and my sisters, that there's something unique about this passage. It seems that the man who wrote this passage was a shepherd. It has been ascribed to the authorship of David. However, David did not write all of the Psalms. Many of them were written by some of the priests and their aides about the temple. Others were written by other patriarchs and saints. But there's something about this passage that seemed to portray that its author was a man who knew something about a shepherd and sheep. Knew something about the shepherd's attitude toward the sheep. And then something about how the sheep relied upon the shepherd. Listen, if you please. This is a gem when it comes to sacred literature. This kind of testimony doesn't just accidentally occur. You can't dream upon something like this. To give off a testimony like this, you've got to have had some experience with God. You've got to been brought to a kind of a situation where you have to lay out upon God and fall out upon God and totally depend upon
Him. Listen
now. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not walk. It's a very personal thing, isn't it? He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. Did you hear what I said? He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Isn't it so? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. A very personal thing. I don't think too much of people who have no personal testimony about God and His goodness. Some folks say, well, you know, I'm not very much of a talker. And I can't say anything in church. If God has meant anything in your life, you ought to be willing to say anyway. You ought to be able to say what God means to me. The Lord means anything. Let the saints Yes, if God says so. Pray with me.
Well,
if David was the author of this passage, then it was born out of some of his experiences.
Yes, sir.
Possibly at the time that he penned this particular passage, this psalm, he was sitting upon an ivory throne.
Yeah.
Israel's first citizen. With a scepter of authority in his hand.
Well,
with courtiers and ambassadors gathered before him.
Yeah.
And yet he takes a retrospect back down the vista of the past.
Well,
and began to think about those things that brought him over.
Yeah. Amen.
Had it been his skillfulness?
Well,
had it been his superior intelligence? Had it been his political maneuvering?
You know, there's Betches, and dancing, and prancing, and vixen, coming.